Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Pass Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Welcome, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Happy to be here. Hey, today's special guest in the house, Mr. Wimmer, Richie Wimmer from Moore Bay High School. He's here. We're going to chat a little bit about, I don't even know where it's going to go.
Yeah, we're just starting to go.
But I think it's going to be fun. We really hit it off. We always have good conversations when we're together. So I'm like, you got to come on the show, man. He's been on, if you're South County at all, KVC, mm-hmm. And what was the other one?
Out in Morro Bay on the community radio. We're starting our show there in 2 weeks. So, yeah.
Nice. And that's a little AM station?
Yeah, it's a rock station. So they play a lot of music, but we're going to be coming on doing some talking about our local kids, how they're going kart racing, and then talking about cars and how that all works together to help our industry and build an apprenticeship program. It's pretty awesome.
That is awesome. One of the things that, if you've listened to the show, I appreciate you for always tuning in. I'm the industry partner for the Pass Robles High School. So we try to work with our local auto shop and bring kids in, do shop tours. And I go to the career day, I guess we call it, right? And go sit there in the hot sun and talk to the kids how maybe the automotive field might be something that they want to look into, because there are so many different career paths that can be taken in this day and age. And unfortunately, a lot of them have nothing to do with working with your hands.
Yeah.
And I think we need more of that, right? We need more of the blue collar, right? The dirty hands with the clean money.
And that's what I've noticed. The kids, they want to work with cars. They want to work with tools and their hands. But they are still into the cell phones. So they're still very avid with technology. So we start our program off with no cell phones, but they eventually will actually earn their cell phones to go through digital inspections. So it's really neat. You got to separate a little bit, then reintroduce it. Show how to properly use your technology, especially at work. You know, if I don't know if you've noticed, but you go around to different businesses of all kinds. And as soon as you have idle hands, it used to be, you know, talking with each other, kind of messing around, whatever's going on. Now it's like straight to the phone. It's like, oh, I'm bored. You know, I'm into the phone.
It used to be if you had time to lean, you got time to clean.
Yeah, I love that. That's, oh man, my first boss did that. Anytime he saw me talking, he's like, hey, time to clean, man.
Maybe grab that broom. You can talk to that broom while you're sweeping.
Exactly. But that's a good lesson, you know? That's an awesome lesson.
I mean, it is, right? Like, that's, be productive if you got some idle time. But, you know, in this day and age, there's some benefit, right, to using technology, right? 100%. AI is coming out. And like you said, you can use it as a reward. Like, that's a great way to do it. You know, I think you're doing a fantastic job with these kids by coaching them up. And one of the things, I hate to say it's the same as like some employees, but right, like everybody likes to be treated and coddled a little bit, right? Like,
yeah.
And so you got to lead them up, you got to teach them up. And you have taken what we use in our shops,
mm-hmm.
and you've implemented it into the high school, which is like the coolest thing. So if you've been into the shop before, with us here, you get a digital vehicle inspection. We get the vehicle in, no cost to you, right? And you've heard me say this a dozen times, thousand times. Bring it in, I mean, no cost to you. We're gonna do a bumper safety inspection for you, and then we'll get you a written estimate what we see. You get pictures, you get videos, you see all the stuff that we see. So there is no, I mean, the transparency is the most important thing in the auto industry. I want you to see what we see, and then you make the decision for yourself. That's what my goal is. The point of auto repair is like, the car's broken. This is what it's broken for. This is what it's going to take to fix it, and this is how much it's going to be. And you've taken that and put it in and are training these kids on the exact same platform that we use. It's literally the exact same shopware.
It is, yeah. And that was the key I found. So I started working as an apprentice in 2008, did about 4 years, and I bought my shop in year 5. And then from there was a transitional period. We weren't even on, we had digital work orders like normal. I think we were using Mitchell back then. So everything was done for the customer side pretty well. Like, the accounting piece was good, but we had no inspections at all. It was all the technicians talking and yelling across the shop at each other like, hey, I need an air filter for this, or this car needs brakes.
Yeah, none of that ever gets forgotten.
Yeah. Oh, that's the problem, is that things were getting dropped, and I could see it as a young person. So I don't think that way. I'm more from an engineering mindset. I studied at Cal Poly in Pomona, civil engineering, you know, had internships and stuff. So to me, I'm always looking at it pragmatically, like, okay, what are we doing next? What did we just do? What did we do 6 months ago? Where are we for the next year? And that's kind of how projects work. And I just realized that the auto shop space needed that. So we implemented DVIs in 2015. And I mean, that was the game changer, because I was able to take a paper inspection that I created for myself, turn it digital, and then slowly apply and train that system. As that started happening, I started getting younger technicians in. They started showing up because I have, you know, Miatas and do racing. So they see the cars outside. Hey, I want to work here. Oh, have you ever worked on cars before? Oh, no, I work at Domino's. Okay, well, you obviously like cars. You have a big wing on this, you know, MR2, and you're really excited. It's like, okay, well, come in. Let's see if we can do some part-time stuff. This is shopware. This is how this works. Oh, really easy. Very fast to learn. So why can't I help other people? So as I started talking to the high schools, I started realizing they have zero management software. So I go to SEMA, start talking to high school teachers over there and other like colleges, Cuesta. There's no management system. Well, how are you guys doing this? Oh, we follow ASE practices. You know, we build these... you have to have this tool and that tool and do this lesson and that lesson. So the curriculum's there, but there's no management on the curriculum. It's done like a teacher. It's done with PowerPoints.
Yeah.
It's done with talking. So if you've ever sat in an automotive class for a semester and learning about engines, you're listening to somebody talk for 2 to 3 hours a week, and then you might get to go out in the shop and see it. When I shadow those classes, the kids are kind of falling asleep.
Oh, yeah. So who wouldn't, man?
Yeah. So what I did was, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do something different. So let me just apply what I know and start like coming into the shop spaces and talking to these kids. That led to becoming a substitute teacher. And then eventually I got a full-time position at Morro Bay. Day one, I came in. It's like, this is shopware. We're spending, all you students are going to be here all year learning how this system works. What's cool about it is all the kids get to take pictures of the components. So instead of me standing up there talking with a PowerPoint and watching the kids nod off, because they want to be an auto shop, they want to be doing stuff, go do a vehicle inspection and find all of these things. Well, I don't know what brake fluid is. I know. Try to find it. Try to take a picture of it. Ask your friends. And then I walk around and I kind of observe and I point things out, and we do vehicle inspections under cars together. And then as the other students get stronger, we now are scaling it. So now they're getting checked out by the students who know what brake fluid is versus me. So now I get to come around and go, okay, what's a brake caliper? And I just keep building and building and building. So eventually my 12th graders will be managing that whole system.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I mean, it takes a lot of liability away too, right? Because I mean, auto shop for me in high school was pulling a car and you start tearing the car apart, mm-hmm. right? And if you look at, you think about looking back on that now, you're like, wow.
It's pretty wild.
It is pretty wild. I was like, oh man, you know, like you seriously hurt somebody, right? These cars are going down the highway at 80 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. You have one teacher trying to manage a class of 30 kids who've never, they don't know what brake fluid is,
yep.
and they're pulling engines apart, pulling wheels off. It's like, yeah, that needs to happen. You got to get your hands dirty, but you got to have some foundation first, right?
And
I think like ASE, the Automotive Service Excellence, is a great example of that, where you can get ASC certified, right? ASC master certified. It's just a foundation, you know? And I think there's a lot of slack in the industry of like, oh, just because you're an ASC master tech, or just because you went to WyoTech, you think you know everything or whatever it is. It's like, well, you can't take that away, right? But it isn't, that also isn't everything.
No, it's just a tool in the toolbox.
Yes.
And if you want to build this into a career, certifications, in my opinion, are one of the highest things you can do, like one of the best things that you can do. Because as soon as you're not feeling that you're being, you know, whatever in your shop, and you're maybe working in a place and you're progressing and have that growth mindset, you're showing your boss, your managers in that space that you're trying. And if you can do it independently, especially if there's any mechanics out there listening right now, it's like, if you're taking the initiative to get your own certifications and to continue training, doing it after hours, you know, really progressing, the doors will start opening. But I think a lot of mechanics that I've seen are like, well, I've been here for 10 years, you know, I kind of want more money. It's like, well, have you looked at your billable hours? Have you looked at these things yet? How can I help you? But they have to be willing to help themselves first. They can't just like shove that onto a manager and then expect something to magically happen. It just doesn't work that way. That's not how life works.
That's very true. I mean, yeah, on all aspects. And I think that's the training or the ASC certifications is just kind of proof that you really want it. And that, exactly. I think that's what you're building too, is you have to start with learning how the software operates and how a real shop operates, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's a loose term, because anybody can go buy some tools from Harbor Freight, pay rent on a building, and you now are a business owner, right? Quote unquote, right?
Yes.
Sure, right? But to be like a professional, top level, elite auto repair facility, mm-hmm. we'll call it, right? You have to constantly be training. And if you want those people, those technicians to come in that are also A players, you have to make sure that they want it for more than just the paycheck, right? The money should be the byproduct. And I think I've always believed in that too. Like give the community what they want, do the job right the first time, stay educated, stay on top of your game. The money's going to come, but if you focus on the money only, then it's just like what you said.
Yeah, you always chase.
You just pointed the manager like, hey, I'm here every day. Can you pay me more? He's like, well, where's your training log? Have you been doing anything? Have you stayed on top of the game? No, you haven't. So,
yeah, that's the thing. It's like while you're waiting for the service advisor to sell more work, you should be training and teaching the service advisor what you need to do and be doing good inspections so they have the tools that they need to do their job.
Yeah.
The worst is when somebody comes into a shop for an isolated incident and then they leave and then they come back, you know, 6 months later, whatever, to do an oil change. And then you tell them you need all this stuff. And they're like, well, why didn't you tell me that 6 months ago when I first got here?
Absolutely.
You know, so those are just those kind of things you learn over time.
Well, and that's like, how do you make everybody happy too? Because some people don't want to know what's going on, right?
Well,
like,
yeah, it's easy to bury your head in the sand. I'm not going to change what your car's doing, but it might make you feel better.
Like when you go to the doctor, like, hey, doc, can you not tell me about all the bad things that are going on? Well, that's a small part of the population. The doctor's job is to tell you everything that's going on with you. That's exactly the expectation, right? And if you come back 6 months later, you're like, oh, by the way, you do have stage one cancer. I saw that last time you came. I just didn't want to tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. You can't do that.
No, I'd be pissed.
We're going to jump on a break. You guys don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Conservative patriots and freedom lovers, join the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County for our biggest event of the year, the Lincoln Reagan Trump Dinner, celebrating America's 250th birthday, August 1st at the Raven Ranch in Templeton. Featured speaker is Trump defender Devin Nunes. General admission tickets $150 with VIP at $250. Seating is limited and this event will sell out. Visit rpsloc.org for tickets today. Paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
I'm Ron Torres, owner of Seniors Helping Seniors. I left corporate America to help seniors who need friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. Seniors have great conversations and understand each other. Join our team of mature caregivers. Or maybe you need that helping hand. Call me, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors Helping Seniors.
For over four decades, one local jewelry store has quietly held a town's most meaningful moments, engagements, anniversaries, milestones. Founded in 1980, K. John's Jewelers became more than a place to buy jewelry. It became a place built on trust. 20 years later, a young woman would walk through the doors as an employee, learning from the jewelers who shaped the store and who would one day trust her to carry it forward. In 2020, alongside her husband, Lindsay Jane accepted that responsibility, not to change what people loved, but to honor it. For years, the cases reflected many voices, designers, friends, partners, but quietly one vision was taking shape. Decades of experience, 12 national design awards, a body of work that had been waiting. And soon, the cases will speak differently, more focused, more intentional, more personal. Something new is coming, and it's been here all along. Lindsay Jane. Luxury jewelry and design from the heart.
Bahama Bay Tanning Company has you covered to be summer ready. Not only do they provide a tanning experience with packages to fit your needs and budget, they also offer tanning beds, spray tans, infrared pod, teeth whitening, clothing, swimwear, jewelry, and more. Locally owned and operated, Bahama Bay Tanning Company. Call 239-9800 or visit them at 1485 Creston Road in the Food for Less Shopping Center. The Red Scooter Deli with two locations, downtown and on 6th Street in Paso Robles. The downtown location on Pine Street is open 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Thursdays now for concerts in the park. Plan your musical enjoyment with a to-go dinner from the downtown Red Scooter Deli. Red Scooter Deli has beer, wine, and mimosas. Ask for the 15% off KPRL discount. Great deli fresh food delivered throughout Paso Robles, Templeton, the airport area, and wineries. Go to redscooterdeli.com.
Well, Welcome back in. This is Gearhead Radio. If you're just tuning in for the first time, thanks for coming in. I'm glad you're here. My name is Jimmy Purdy, owner of 15 Gears Auto Repair, located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. And here today, and today only, to bring you Gearhead Radio. Now, put it on your calendar every Saturday from 9 to 10. Make sure you put it on your calendar to tune in. Today, we have special guests from Wimmer's Automotive in Morro Bay, fellow shop owner and auto shop coach, auto shop teacher.
I guess you could call
professor.
That. You know? Yeah, professor. I get called
what's
professor.
What's the label?
Yes, automotive technology instructor.
I like that. There we go.
Yeah,
I like
There's a difference, actually, between a teacher and an instructor, and I've learned this over the past few years. An instructor is somebody that's teaching people how to follow procedures and, like, instructing them on processes. So things like repair or hands-on things. So that's what an instructor does. A teacher is more... think about how things, conceptually, what you're doing. Like, you're teaching students how to think about certain things and read things and apply knowledge. It's just a very slight difference. So when you get into the technical space, there's actually a little shift, and it goes to instructors. So what that means to me is we're supposed to be instructing kids about how to have good careers in our field.
Leadership.
Exactly, leadership.
Leadership.
And we still want to teach people how to think. Don't get it wrong. It's just they also need to learn the actual procedures so that way they can apply what they've been taught into an instruction.
The critical thinking, I think, is the most important missed opportunity for most.
Mm-hmm.
Be able to think outside the box, critically think. And we talked a little bit about, like, the foundation, right? And, like, learning, training, but applying that knowledge is where the wisdom comes from, right? Mm-hmm. And it has to be beyond just knowing what the torque specs are. Or, you know, I get calls sometimes on the show about certain things. I got this problem. It's making this noise. What is it? Like, what do I need to fix, right? And I think anybody with a vehicle that's listening, I mean, I'm sure I think everyone listening probably has a vehicle, has had a check engine light at one point in his life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just want to plug the thing in, what's the code? And at this day and age, you can Google it, you can use AI, right? And it'll tell you exactly what's wrong, right?
Yeah, 100% of the time.
And so you own a shop, you understand the process, and you deal with the same type of stuff, right? Just plug the scan tool in. Just tell me what the code is. Maybe they go to the local auto parts store and they get a whole long list. And I've always said, well, you know, you probably don't want to take diagnostic information from a place that will sell you the parts to fix that problem, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially since they don't know, they're not certified to even advise you properly.
Well, and also their goal is to sell you parts, so they're just going to sell you as many parts. Send me parts as you can. And maybe in the long run, I mean, in the long run, it usually doesn't work out, but in the short term, maybe you get lucky once or twice and it does fix the problem.
Yeah.
But I think the point is the critical thinking of using the information that you can get from listening to the show, listening to different podcasts, right? And using your brain to, like, okay, so if it has this code, what else can possibly be part of the problem? And how do I eliminate those possibilities? And one of the big things I try to tell the techs at our shop is, okay, so if this is the part you want to replace to fix the problem, let's just say, heaven forbid, we replace it and it doesn't fix the problem. What's the next step? And I think that's, like, critical thinking 101, right? Like, looking beyond that. So if that doesn't fix it, what's the next thing you're looking at? And if you have another answer to that, then we're not replacing that part until you test that next component, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, that's, like, critical thinking. And it's, like, that's got to be the hardest thing to try to teach somebody.
It is.
Or instruct them, right?
Well, it is, because once you find the problem, you hyperfixate on it. We have a car over at our shop that has overheating issue. It's a Nissan. And as they're going through it, they're commanding the fan to come on and nothing's coming on. It's running cool. It's just stuck at, like, 180. So everything's functioning. But the customer's complaining that it's overheating at stop signs. Okay, well, that's kind of aligning up with the fan system. You're like, okay.
Makes sense.
Let's look through our service history real quick, see if we've done these before. Oh my gosh, we've already done 5 fan assemblies on these Rogues over the past, like, 4 years. So it's like, this is probably the problem. So those are the things happening behind the scenes that an auto parts store is trying to apply with their data that they're giving you. It's like, well, this has happened this many times. It's probably that. So you take it one step further. Okay, so we've isolated this thing. Seems pretty straightforward. What else can cause overheating? Well, make sure that the water pump looks okay. Make sure that your radiator hoses are okay. Make sure there's no leaks anywhere. Make sure your thermostat housing isn't, you know, plastic and cracked. As you start kind of poking around, you see, oh, that thermostat housing has a slight seep on it. So am I going to put a fan on this thing, send the customer down the way, or am I going to do what it needs, which is a thermostat and the fan assembly? So that's where that critical thinking takes one step further. taking the extra time to inspect the whole thing, getting a good clear picture, because you don't want to be doing surgery on something that's cancerous and like, oh, you know, you have a tool went through your leg and then they, well, we just sewed it right back up for you. It's like, but did you actually check everything else? Like, is there other things going on in there? Are tendons damaged, you know, or did something really bad happen? Or is it just sew up the skin and leave it alone? So those are the processes we're trying to get into the high schools through vehicle inspections, which in my opinion is all they really need to learn right now. Learn how the car works by inspecting it, then learn the critical thinking. What does it need? How do you write the estimates? Where do you find the parts? How much should this stuff cost? How long should it take you? And I slow it down so much with the high school students because it's like, you need to do all these pieces. You can't just come to my auto shop and bring in a set of brakes and be like, I'm doing brakes today. It's like, where's your appointment? Like, there's no racks available for you because the other students that are following the procedures are reserving those racks. They're spending 2 or 3 weeks of research in order to have the space. And then guess what? They have the attention of the instructor so I can watch them better and help them and like actually guide them. And we have a volunteer, John Neiswanger, who's my father-in-law, and he's just running around. He's a, you know, older technician, master certified, and he helps all the kids. So my job is to get them to him, but they shouldn't be going to him by just skipping the procedure. They've got to go through and like, learn how it works, and then they can fix it. And they're so successful when they do because I've given them everything they need.
The chain of command.
Yeah, chain of command. And they got to build that into the students because myself and John can't be that forever. So we have to create a self-propelled wheel. And in order to do that, we need to have the students to be a part of it. Now you're taking 100 students in a class or in a set, right? I have 4 classes, about 30 students each. You start teaching the upperclassmen, well, you start teaching the 10th graders first, but by the time they're 12th graders, now they know the process. So now they're the ones enforcing the rules. Hey, I'd love to, you know, help you get those brakes done. However, where's your work order? Oh, well, do I really need that? You know, I just want to do brakes real quick. Well, now you have a 12th grader going, that's not how we do it here. Now, all of a sudden, it becomes personal within the space and the students start getting responsibility. Of those 100 students, you know, 10% of them might go into cars. But everybody's probably going to go to some sort of education or do something. So those management skills need to be ingrained at that lower level too. So then when they do go to college, they're like, oh, I remember Mr. Wimmer was talking about that. And then they go buy a business doing coffee or whatever. So
it's the culture,
The culture buy-in, right? But also they have to like love each other too. And they have to like care for each other and watch each other's back. Just like football. Like you don't have a football team that everyone just shows up and starts throwing the ball around and they're going to win anything. Yeah. High school auto shop's the same way. Everybody just shows up and then there's no real like full strong organization or team mentality. So they're just wrenching on cars and playing around. And then it's like, well, I don't want to have any technicians. It's like, they're not being trained, man.
It's such a behind the scenes peek of like what I don't think most understand about like a well-run business. Right.
Yeah.
And you're saying all these things and it's just all the light bulbs going off in my head of the same thing of like, it's so much of my time is focused on what exactly you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Anybody listening, you hear about an auto repair shop and it's like, oh, you just go there and they fix cars. You know, they get a greasy rag in their back pocket, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe they're smoking a cigarette and there's a burnt pot of black coffee in the back, right? Like that's just the image you get, right? I'll just bring my car, swing by the shop and see if they can take just a minute to take a quick look at it. And then you ask them, right? You pull up to the service counter or whatever. Hey, can you just get one of your guys take a quick look at it? And it's just, it's such a level of frustration that comes in because there is a process that's being built behind the scenes that most don't even realize is happening. And it's like, no, we can't just do that because we have a procedure and a process, right? So it goes from the customer to the technician to the advisor, right? All the way down to like the students that you're training. A well-run auto repair shop has to have systems and processes in place. And so that the ultimate goal is to fix the car. But all the other nonsense, I like to call it, like behind the scenes is like, it all just becomes kind of second nature and we don't have to worry about that because there is a business to be ran and that's what's really important to know. Like we have to make sure these vehicles that are leaving are inspected. I mean, that's our, like, I feel like it's a civil responsibility, right? Like mm-hmm. It sure comes in with a check engine light, but if I don't check the wheel bearing, right? And the wheel bearing's loose and you lose it on the freeway a month later, who you pointing your finger at? I just had it at the shop. You didn't look at the wheel bearing? Yeah. Well, there's about 400,000 parts on your vehicle, right? Like
yeah.
I can't check every single part, but I'm going to check at least, you know, the top 30 that I know that are going to fail. And I think that's where AI comes in, where it's helpful, right? If a vehicle comes in, say like a 2016 Chevy Tahoe, right? We're looking at the engine mount. We're looking at the trans cooler lines. We're looking at the engine cooler lines, right? Like, we know what these vehicles fail for. If it's a Subaru coming in, what are we checking? We're going to check the head gaskets. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we know the common failures, and I think AI helps. You can say, hey, what's the most common failures on these cars? Okay, so that's part of the inspection process. Now, am I going to use AI to sell a Subaru head gasket because it's the first thing that comes on the lid? Like, no. So you have to be, and it's like the same thing with going to the parts store and saying, oh, I have an engine misfire on a Subaru. It's going to say, well, we probably need head gaskets. Well, I mean, that's a that's an expensive jump right there. If it all needs is some coils and spark plugs. So, I love where that conversation is going of like making sure that the processes are put in place. And I think that's really missed.
Yeah, it is, and that's what we're building at Morro Bay.
Yeah, I love it. Take another break. We'll be right back.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero. See their online specials at aceautocare.com.
Fox News, I'm Daria Albingero. Grateful President Trump.
To Officer Gonzalez, Secret Service, Metropolitan Police, law enforcement generally, and even all of the military around us in the room tonight, we salute you and we thank you with all of our hearts. Thank you very much. Great job.
At last night's rescheduled White House Correspondents' Dinner, he thanked those who may have saved him from a would-be assassin at the original event. The president says the U.S. will attack Iran until it's serious about peace.
Who cannot approve funding military when you're winning a war and what are you supposed to do, stop fighting? We're winning a war by a lot. We're talking to them right now. They're willing to do things that they would have never done.
The U.S. has carried out nearly 2 weeks of airstrikes. America's listening to Fox News.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Central Coast Tractor Work, with decades of construction and earthwork experience. They are the go-to outfit for all your home, farm, and ranch excavation needs. They do site prep, excavation, grading, trenching, utility work, demolition. They even do brush removal and lots more. They handle it all, and no job is too small. Call them today and get your project moving. And by the way, they work weekends. Central Coast Tractor Work, 805-440-6361. Lint Patrol specializes in dryer vent cleaning. You can trust Dylan with Lint Patrol to keep your vents clean and safe, and this helps your dryer run more efficiently and reduces the risk of a house fire. Dylan has over 6 years of appliance preventative maintenance experience and is knowledgeable in all things appliance care. This is an affordable, simple way to help protect your home. Contact Dylan today at 805-975-5176 or visit lintpatrolca.com. We have a beautiful new furniture store in Paso Robles, right next to Walmart. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, locally owned by fifth generation Californian. Ricky's offers a large variety of furniture, Western art pieces, and specializes in custom sofas. Ricky's bright, beautiful showroom is a breath of fresh air here in the North County. Ricky's Furniture Outlet, on Niblick, next to Walmart, in Paso Robles.
And welcome back. You are tuned into Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. Appreciate you being here. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. Check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. You can make an appointment there or just swing by the shop anytime. 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. As always, appreciate you being here. What else we got? Real quick update. If you're looking for something to do other than the Mid-State Fair, we do have the C10 slowdown going down in Avila Beach today, which is always an awesome freaking show, man. I have that 68 C10. I just, with the fair and the baby, I just don't think I was going to make it this year. So I didn't go this time, but I definitely recommend if you're looking for something to do, maybe go get out of the heat, head to the coast, get away from the fair. If you're not into the fair, if you are, I think the rodeo's tonight. So lots of fun things to do in the county, but I'm glad you're here listening because this is the most fun thing to do at 9:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning. If you're just tuning in, we have Richie Wimmer from Wimmer's Automotive. He's also the Morro Bay instructor.
Mm-hmm,
did I get that right? I got that right.
You got it right.
I didn't get the whole technical thing that you said, but...
Yeah, automotive technical
instructor. Automotive technical instructor.
Yeah.
I got to repeat that a couple times.
It's a kind of a
I'm also
title.
Not the smartest, the sharpest tool in the shed, so I learn as I go as well.
Well, you know, and I had to like find that title because at first it's like you're the auto teacher and then you're the auto shop like teacher. And then as time goes on, it's like, okay, what am I actually doing? And then slowly redefining who I am. And then it's like, no, this is kind of who I am. You know, I'm not stringent to it. If someone calls me professor, I'm totally cool with it. It's just,
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's totally fine. It's just, it's just funny. Like you got to like get that on your email correct. You know, it's like ASC certified this and you kind of have your little thing,
your little title,
your little stamp,
the badge. Yeah. I like it.
You know,
like
what
it.
I don't have though is a business card for the school. And I asked about it and they were like, huh? And I was like, man, every teacher should have like a little business card. So I'm probably going to invest in that this year just to have something to give to the parents that I meet. So they have a direct line, you know, email, contact information.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Especially since we're building this apprenticeship program, you know, parents want to know what's good for their kids. And if their kids are interested in auto, do they want to send their kids to a program where they're going to play around for 3 years and at the end just go do whatever? Or do they want to be starting a apprenticeship program in 10th grade? And then they don't. There's no obligation. Like if you like it, you've already have 3 years done by the time you graduated. Now just go to Cuesta, do your final 2 years of technical training. And at that point, you're already interning in shops and working in shops. And you're probably G1 certified at that point. And then when you're done with your 5 year, essentially a formal apprenticeship, you are working like and everybody needs them. So that's the goal.
I love that you brought that up because it's if you've ever hired an attorney or you had to go to the doctor. What else is there? Tons of skilled stuff out there. You realize that just because they have the title doesn't mean that they're good at what they do, right?
Yes.
And so with technicians as well, you could have someone that's been in the industry 15 years, 20 years, 30 years that's ASC Master Certified that just doesn't care, right? They fell into it. Mm-hmm. They keep doing it. They keep doing the bare minimum. And somehow they've gotten to the point where they're Master Certified and they've been doing it this long and they're just not that good at it. And it's just not everybody... has the passion, and without the passion, you're not going to be good at it. I've ran into kids that are, you know, 25, 30 years old that are extremely talented, right? Where they have way more common sense and technical experience at 25 years old than someone that's been doing it for 25 years, right? Yeah. And I think it's cool because you're pulling that passion out of them and you're getting it into them early. Is this something you're going to want to do? And you brought up the apprenticeship program. So that's something we've dealt with NAPA, with the apprentice program. Really cool program that they do. We can bring someone that doesn't have any experience and it kind of baby steps them through the process, right?
Yes.
We're talking off the break a little bit about how difficult it is to manage people. I mean, that's the hardest thing in the world. And before the last break, I was just kind of getting into that segment of all the things that go on behind the scenes of an auto repair shop, right? It's a business behind the scenes. And I got to do all these things that I don't want to do. I just want to fix the car, right? Like that's why I started.
Yeah.
I want to see something broken. I want to figure out why it's broken. I want to figure out how it works. And I want to make the right diagnostic and then put that part in and then get that sense of like, I figured it out, right?
Yeah, there's the accomplishment.
Yeah, there's nothing more defeating than being wrong. Right. But there's also nothing more motivating. So then I got to go back and do it again. Like I built transmissions for a long time. I still do. And when I get it wrong, man, that I will be there till 2-3 in the morning, pulling that thing back out, figure out what's going on. Right. It just motivates me to figure out what's wrong. But also it feels so good when I get it right the first time.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. You're like, oh, I win.
Yeah. That feels really good. And then you're just searching for that dopamine hit again. Right. Like yeah. I want that again. And you keep searching for it to try to fix it. But when you deal with the business, there's so much like management and other stuff that's going on, and growing people is like, that is the pinnacle. Right. Mm-hmm. And you talked a little bit about having to mentor the kids up to a certain point, and then the rest of it's kind of up to, on them.
Yeah, you got to get them ready, right? So it's really hard to work with someone and give them a bunch of carrots and watch them, you know, trot down the road and do the bare minimum. We're just kind of doing the check boxes, and you can tell, or I mean, I can tell when I see students just kind of going through the motions versus the students that are already coming to me going, "I'm all done, Mr. Warren. What's next?" It's like, oh boy, I better figure out something quick. You know, as that starts to build up, I've been slowly realizing it's like, wait, do I need to spend a lot of time managing the business and like really focusing in on my current staff? Or should I start building managers within the high school, whether they understand it or not. So that's the cool part about what I'm trying to do, is this isn't about making technicians in high school to just have them hit billable hours and just wrench and wrench and wrench and hurt themselves. It's going to be about building management and like building the opportunities for them to maybe buy some of these auto shops in the future too. So there's a lot going on, but it takes the foundational work. So I'm just in a unique position where I understand that and I like it. I love it. It's really fun. So we need to, as a community, support these programs and realize, as even the instructors are leaving and retiring, because that's happening too, as all these people start to leave the automotive space, who's coming in with to help manage and actually make programs that are going to be successful? We don't want to keep repeating the same things we've been doing since I was in high school in 2000. Like, it was super fun. I had a great time. I learned a ton, but I also didn't go into the field. I went to college. If my program was set up a little bit differently in high school, I would never have gone to the classical college, because that wasn't for me anyway. But that apprenticeship program didn't really exist. There was like an ROP system. It was pretty neat, but there wasn't a step-by-step guide to get the kids critical thinking, to get them actually understanding what they're doing, to give them the excitement of managing. I mean, imagine you come into a Jiffy Lube at 19 years old, you just graduated high school, but you understand how business management works. You are lined up for success for that Jiffy Lube. You're not going to be changing oil for very long. You're going to be advising for a little bit. You'll probably be a team lead or whatever they have over there. And so now you can really rebuild and help what we really need, which is good quality people to do the complex tasks that are going to be harder and harder for the normal consumer to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, cars are getting super technical.
Well, yeah, I mean, like from 2000 till now, right? Name 10 things that have changed on a vehicle, right? Like, I don't think we have enough time to the end of the year to discuss how many things have changed in the vehicle in the last 25 years. But yet we're still teaching the younger generation in an old way.
Yeah.
Right? Like how the vehicles evolve, so our process also has to evolve. And auto repair is going towards the technical side, right?
It is.
And if you're stuck in 2000, I mean, yeah, somebody with AI is going to beat you.
Well,
that's not good.
That's not good at all. No, and that's going to push you towards retirement for sure, or at least like doing something different, changing careers, whatever. But if we're still teaching carburetors in high school and small engines and stuff, it's not a bad thing. But I kind of view it as more of the artistic side. So now you're teaching kids how to use their hands and how like meticulous things work and small details. So you're teaching that side of the brain and you're making it really fun and engaging. And there's a lot of support for those programs. The problem is they have morphed from regional occupational, like playing around and learning how tools work. They've morphed now to career technical education. So you're supposed to be teaching these kids about the careers. That's the first word is career. So why are we teaching them to be artsy with a carburetor? We need to be teaching them how business functions, because they need a career. So we've just morphed. It's just grown. And it doesn't mean that any of these other programs all over the U.S., I mean, there's probably 1,200 auto shop programs that are still doing stuff the way it's always been done. But we're not getting what we need, which is like certified people or business-minded people or career-minded people. They're just going off to college and they're going to take whatever classes are going to figure it out on their own. So we're leaving the door wide open to just let them go do solar, let them go become plumbers, let them go become electricians. Instead, we need to like kind of like, a, hey, stop them at the door and go, by the way, I know there's all these other formal apprenticeships out there, which is great. We have one in automotive too. Oh, you do? Yeah. Here, parent, here's our 5-year plan. Oh, so you're saying my kid's going to start at $20 an hour, and by the time they're done, they'll easily be making $40 an hour? It's like, if they do all these steps, it's 100% possible.
Yeah, very easy, too.
Very easy, and if you like it, then it's super easy. But if you just don't want to go to college, and I'm going to be a mechanic just because I don't want to do school and get educated, you're not going to be successful, because you still need the training, you still need to get education. It's just, what are you spending your 4 years doing?
Yeah, and I've always said if the business wins, everybody wins, right? And so yes. Having that mindset of like, how does the business make money, right? And understanding that, and then being able to help in that aspect, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding why it's important to track your billable hours. Understanding why, hey, that diagnostic took me 4 hours, and why we can't charge the customer for that. And understanding that now you just cost the company this amount of money,
yeah.
And that's okay. That's going to happen, right? But we can't let that keep happening. We have to stop the bleeding. You need to go back to training. You need to understand what you did wrong. Understand whatever it is that you were working on that took you that long, and fix it again. If you don't understand how the business works, then you're never going to have that. The what do you call it? The motivation to figure it out, right?
Yeah, and that's the really the key with my program and the apprenticeship program is to teach the business side. So we develop advisors, we have graders, we have staff members, we have customers, we have service managers, we have classroom managers, and then we have the ASB Club, which manages all the classes. That was established last year in year two. It's going to start being practiced in year three, should be refined by year five. Once all of those pieces work together, that's where the magic is going to happen, because now the apprenticeship program is a self-working machine that the students are building. So imagine you're a 12th grader and you're graduating and you're like, man, I've done auto for 3 years. I've got a Corvette that I bought that I fixed up. You know, I did suspension on my friend's car over here. I know how estimates work. And did you know, Mr. Wimmer, that if this was a real shop, like out there in the real world with eight bays, that this should be like a $6 to $7 million shop? When they have that realization of what they have, All of a sudden it goes from like, oh, I'm just playing around with cars, to, wait, I can manage one of these. I can build one of these shops. I can do this. And those kids are already being educated, even in high school, to think that way. But they're just kind of like clocked in right now. They're just like, oh, I'm just going through my high school, trying to get the heck out of here, which is okay. But as soon as there's a buy-in, and I've seen that with one of my students who just graduated last year, all of a sudden it's like he didn't want to leave. He was like, this is like the saddest day. I don't want to leave this shop. And it's like, you're not leaving the shop. You can still be involved. Go to Cuesta, do your thing, come work at my shop, and come volunteer here. And
that's awesome.
So he's thinking about that. He's like, yeah, I could just keep coming back. I was like, yeah, of course you can keep coming back. It's not like you graduate and can't go get a visitor's pass and come hang out with us. You know? But you just don't think that. You know, most kids want to get the heck away from school as fast as possible. And I'm, in the same boat, so I understand.
And I think, like acquisitions right now in the automotive industry is huge. Mm-hmm. If anybody's been paying attention, which they probably haven't, I have, with Midas really, really, really taking over, they've rebranded. They've taken over a lot of different Take 5 and different oil changers. What was the latest acquisition?
I think it was Pep Boys.
Pep Boys. They just got acquired. I mean, the private equity is so big right now in the auto industry because after COVID, they saw the opportunity that was there.
Yeah, and they're still open.
Yeah, and the realization that your student had, these private equity companies have. The difference is they got millions of dollars and they're walking up to these auto shops that have been around for 30 years, and these guys are burnt out and tired, and they're like, hey, you want 250 grand? Oh man, that'd be the greatest thing in the world. It's like, and that's pocket change for these guys. They're buying these shops and then they're taking them over and they're acquiring them by the dozens. And so to have students come out with the realization like, wait, I can compete with that and I get to do what I love and I get to have a community-based business that's not private equity. Not to say private equity is the worst thing in the world, but
it's just corporate.
It's corporate. Yeah. And it's nice to walk into a shop and talk to Richie, right? Mm-hmm. And have that community-based service business, but you have to make money to do that.
Yeah,
to stay relevant, yeah, right?
The business is there to make money, but it's also there to take care of your community.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Gotta take another break. We'll be right back.
Lint Patrol specializes in dryer vent cleaning. You can trust Dylan with Lint Patrol to keep your vents clean and safe, and this helps your dryer run more efficiently and reduces the risk of a house fire. Dylan has over 6 years of appliance preventative maintenance experience and is knowledgeable in all things appliance care. This is an affordable, simple way to help protect your home. Contact Dylan today at 805-975-5176 or visit lintpatrolca.com.
Vicki Silva is your North County real estate professional with over 40 years of real estate experience in Paso Robles and the surrounding North County communities. Selling your home can be a life-altering experience, so it's important that the sale is handled with care and professionalism. Let Vicki Silva take care of it all for you. Give her a call today at RE/MAX Parkside in Paso Robles, 805-610-2650. Vicki Silva, 610-2650.
The Taylor Ranch has a new Bison Harvest Inn, and it's selling fast. I'm Susanna Luthi, host of KPRL's Free Talk California and Rancher. I want our community to thrive one plate of bison at a time. We've got new offerings like spicy bison sausage and a bison club that keeps you in meat all year long and gives special perks like a ranch bison safari. Bison transports you back 100 years when meat was what nature intended. Wild, wildly nutritious, and so very delicious. Order now at Taylor Ranch 1868.
If you need a great, easy place for lunch, try the Spirit of Paso Robles in the River Oaks neighborhood. There is plenty of parking, and it's just a couple minutes from downtown Paso. Some of the locals' favorites: grilled prawn cob salad, cowboy Cuban with brisket and pulled pork, smash burger with two patties, the very popular beer battered fish and chips, and shrimp tacos. Great lunch and easy parking, and the patio is pet friendly. The Spirit of Paso Robles, right in the middle of River Oaks Golf Course.
Whether you're remodeling your home or building a new one, think of Frontier Floors and Window Coverings in Paso Robles. Since 1977, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings has been the North County's choice for the finest in selection, quality, and service. From an area rug to a complete newly designed residential or commercial project, Frontier Floors and Window Coverings is equipped to assist you from floor to ceiling. Browse their 3,000 square foot showroom. You'll find hardwood flooring, laminate, luxury vinyl flooring, shutters, blinds, shades, draperies, and of course, luxurious stain-resistant carpet. Frontier Floors and Window Coverings, providing the highest quality at competitive prices with unmatched customer service. Call now for your free design consultation, 805-238-7878, online at frontierfloors.net, or visit the showroom at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Frontier Floors and Window Covering.
Welcome back in. We're getting in to the end of the hour here on Gearhead Radio. I really appreciate you tuning in and hanging out. I hope this has been insightful for you listening. That's a little different than what I normally do, but like I said, it's always fun to bring someone in every couple months and kind of change the pace a little bit, you know. But like, you get to learn a little bit more about me as a person, which I think is really exciting for you as a listener, right?
Yeah, it's always nice to get to know who's on the other end of the microphone. We all have good faces for radio, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you've been to the shop, you probably met me there, and you're like, oh. And I get that a lot. They come into the shop, and they're like, oh, you're the one on the radio. I'm like, Maya, I hate to disappoint you. Sorry about that.
Well, sometimes it's good to have an illusion, right? You have a picture of something in your mind, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that was not what I thought. It's like, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Although, I'll tell you what, we just went to national parks. We went to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, so I had an image of my mind what it was, but. For anybody who's never been there, when you show up there, it's the opposite. It's just like, this is so grand. It's unbelievable. Like,
oh, that good.
Yeah. My photos can't even, I can't even take pictures to replicate the beauty.
Right. It's like the Grand Canyon.
It's the same thing. You get there and you look over the edge and you're like, whew, this is insane. How is this even possible? But if you see photos of it, you're like, oh, that looks
it's all flat.
Yeah. And I think that happens in schools too, right? So we have all of these beautiful students, right? Really nice people that are learning, and they have all these interesting skills and interesting like ideas, and they're wanting to do stuff. And, you know, they don't know what they're doing yet. They're just bouncing around. But if you were to just take a picture of your students and go, here are my students, somebody would look at it and go, oh, automotive students, cool. And it's like, yeah, but each one of them are like the same as those geyser pools. Like, they're all bubbling and wanting to come out, and, you know, they're hot and fiery and they want to do stuff, but they just don't know what to do. So they just kind of sit there in bubbles. So we just need to be very cautious and very compassionate and realize our job is to make their lives better, because otherwise they're just going to get stuck into the minutia that we've created as a society through corporate models and other things. So,
yeah.
So you have to really harness that beauty, take a moment, figure out how it works, and then reinforce it and let them know that they are special. And then once that happens, they trust you. And then once they trust you, then customers start trusting them. Teachers start trusting them. They want to bring their cars in for service because you have a good product. Everybody's blown away because they're like, whoa, I just brought my car for an oil change and I got so much information. And these kids are only 11th grade. Like, that's wild.
Yeah. It's the passion, right?
It's the passion.
And I think the typical burnout shop owners is what really puts the stigma on the auto industry in general, right?
Yeah.
And whether it's around here or somewhere, but you've been around the country or something, you've gone into a shop, and I'm sure if you've been around for more than 30 years, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You go somewhere and you talk to a burnout. And it's not just the auto industry. I mean, it kind of goes across the board with
it's
anybody.
Everywhere.
It's everywhere, right? Whether you're trying to get your fence done or plumbing or electrical or frame, whatever, you've talked to a business that's blown you off,
yeah.
Right? They're burnout. They just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to give you a price, or they give you a price that's and without any explanation, and it's just the loss of passion. And so I could see with the kids, it's like they're just passionate about it because they don't know the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And without that foundation, I think that's where they lose it over time, right? You do all these things, you check all these boxes, and you keep striving for like this quote unquote peak, right? Like you have this goal set of like, I just got to get to the top of the mountain. And then when you get there, it's like, well, now what? Right. And then you kind of, you plateau and you don't know what to do. Right.
Yeah. And the right thing to do is go, look, there's a mountain even bigger further out.
Right. Right.
But most people are like, that was a lot of work. I don't want to go any farther. And that's fine. And enjoy the view at that point and do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But, to the willingness to walk down the other side and see what's happening over there is really important.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where the passion comes in. And we're like having that base foundation of like, this is, and have something to look back onto, right? Because mm-hmm. most of us kind of fall into it. Like for me, I fell into it, right? I got hooked on the dopamine hit of fixing something, right? Mm-hmm. And figuring out how it works. And it's like, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, right? I never had the best grades, but I could fix something that nobody else could. Well, not nobody else, but like the majority couldn't, yeah, right? And so I think a lot of us mechanically inclined attach ourselves to the auto repair industry because for one, everybody needs a car. For two, everybody needs a car. It makes you very helpful. And if you're not that smart, you're like, wow, I'm helpful. Like this is awesome. I can do this. I can figure this out. And then you start looking around and you're like, not a lot of other people can. So you get hooked on that and you're like, this is really cool. And like, that's where the fire comes in, right?
Yeah.
So I fell into it. But if you didn't and you from a very early age, you're like kind of indoctrinated into it and you're like, this is who I am as a person. Because there's always a little bit of that imposter syndrome, right?
Yeah.
If you fell into it, right? Like if you just picked up a wrench one day and you're like, I got to get to school and I don't have the money to fix my car. So I'm just going to see what's going on. And oh my God, it's running. I'm going to school now, right? And then so the next day,
an alternator. Yeah, that wasn't too hard.
Yeah, you know? And you just fall into it. You get to a point where you own a shop and you're managing employees and you get a little bit of an imposter syndrome. You're like, man, I just kind of did this because it was kind of an accident.
Yeah, that's kind of like my story. When I was in college I was living in Brea at the time, and I had a 1991 Ford Ranger that I bought from my dad. It's four-wheel drive, and it was awesome. Had a ton of oil leaks. I didn't even know it. You know, it's just a really beautiful truck, pretty low miles on it, and one day it didn't start. So look around, call my dad. He's like, hit it with a hammer. I was like, hit what with a hammer? He's like, hit the starter with the hammer.
Hit what
with
the whole truck?
Yeah, I was like, exactly. Wait, what, the ding in the fender? Like, what am I doing here? And he's like, I'll walk you through it, you know? And luckily, even back in 2003, I had a cell phone, so I could actually walk out to the car. And I went under there, and he's like, look around for these wires going to this little circle thing. And I was like, okay. And of course, there's a drive shaft, like, right over it. But I was able to get up there, and he's like, tap on it. And I tapped on it. I was like, nothing's happening. He's like, now go try to start it. And I was like, okay, nothing's happening. Do it again. Do it again. We went back and forth with this for, like, 5 minutes. And then my buddy comes out. And he's like, hey, what are you doing? And then I said, hold that key for me. And then tap, 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 boom, car started. So at that moment is when I was like, okay, I've done something now. Well, I need to take it to a shop because I don't know how to fix it. But I ended up dropping it off. And I had this big sales thing where the guy at the corporate shop was like, oh, you know, it's going to take us all day. And it's going to be, you know, it's a really expensive job and it's super hard and all this stuff. And he was just laying on all these layers. And I'm like a 19-year-old kid going, okay, well, just where do I sign? It was like $600 to do a starter. I ended up leaving my book bag in there. So I'm like riding my bike back. 45 minutes later, I show back up at the shop. I dropped it off at 8:30. I was there at like 9:15 and the truck was parked in a different spot. So I said, yeah, I need to get my book back. The technician had the keys in his hands, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's all done if you want to take it. The service advisor just turned white as a ghost. So that's at that moment, I was like, that's not right. I don't like the feeling that I got from this advisor guy. He ended up because I was pissed. I was like, dude, you told me it was going to like the super hard job and all these things. Turns out it was like a 0.75 thing, 0.75 hours once I got access to the repair manual, you know, decades later. And then he was just selling me a bill of goods. So I think there's a lot of bad thoughts about us. Like that's what happens in every shop. But that was my experience with one shop. However, now that I'm a shop owner and I look around at all these other shop owners, I realize it's like, oh, that was just a bad guy. Doesn't mean it's a bad industry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that tees like back into like the corporate, you know, mega structures coming in and buying out and that's what it is, because you lose that touch of like the CEO or the president or the owner, right? And it goes down to management, and all it takes is one bad apple, right?
That's it is, yeah.
That's it. It's one bad person that's just trying to make their sales quota. That's it.
That's all it was. And he may have not even, you know, I might even be misspeaking here. He may not be a bad person, but you said sales quota. That's right. Yeah. He's trying to hit something, and he sees somebody come in with an opportunity, and he just took it, and that's that. He just got caught.
So. And honestly, it's because he's actually not a good salesperson, right?
He's a horrible salesperson.
Because the salesperson's, the only job a salesperson's supposed to do is solve a problem, right?
Yeah, they're supposed to be your advocates.
Yeah, and if you solve the problem, you get paid for it. If you turn it into sales, and if someone came up to you and was like, you need to make a sales quota, then that's what happens.
Yeah, it's not sales anymore. It's just bad stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Richie, it was a pleasure having you. It went by way too quick.
I know, isn't it wild how fast an hour goes?
It was so fast, man.
Well, come on again. Maybe we could talk about our kart racing team and what we're doing for this school year, man. It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. If you need anybody in Morro Bay, go check out Wimmer's Automotive.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Paso Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.